What do you get when you cross a know-it-all newspaper columnist with an awkward, unsophisticated everyman?
Yeah, well, I'm just not sure about that right now.
Welcome to Couch and the Rue.
Welcome to Couch and the Rue, presented by SkyMint Premium Cannabis, helping people survive Michigan State football seasons and Lions seasons since 2000. I don't know the year that it was founded, but for a long time. Well, weed has been helping for a long time, and SkyMint has been here for you more recently. Go to SkyMint.com for location information and specials. Tell them you're a Lions fan. Tell them you're a Michigan State fan. They'll get it. Also, our Tuesday night show brought to you by our friends at Front 43 Neighborhood Pub and Cask & Company Kitchen and Bar. That's just north of Frandor on East Saginaw in Lansing, near the East Lansing border. Was there just last night with my co-ed soccer team. Outstanding time. Great beers. Good food. Just a good place. Great place to watch an MSU game, especially when you're not sure what's going to happen, because they'll have other games on. They'll have plenty of beer. Plenty of distractions that aren't Michigan State football related if you're a little nervous and don't want to be in the stadium this week for Michigan State, Ohio State. Jason, how you doing?
Good food, good friends.
Right now, either you're stuttering or I'm not okay. Picking it up because it's what? So,
hey, buddy, quick question.
Yeah.
On the way here, I'm just a question for the people that want to do 15 to 20 miles underneath the speed limit. I just have a question. Do you enjoy being in your car? I'm not saying you have to be a speed demon, crazy, switching lanes, but don't you want to get home? Do you enjoy being in the car and doing 20 miles underneath the speed limit? I just don't understand. It's just a pet peeve of mine.
Were they ancient? Sometimes no. You get upset and then they're really old.
Oh, no, I play that game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How old is this person in front of me? Yeah.
Yeah.
That always happens. I'm just saying, like, I don't care. Even if you're older, don't you want to get somewhere and live life? You're running out of time. Hurry up. Don't slow down. I don't get it. Will I be that way when I'm 70? Fuck no. 20 under the speed limit? Anyway.
So, interesting day. It must be October. Tom Izzo was talking about playing zone. And Michigan State's nervous about a game against Ohio State. We're in October.
Nervous about what? Are we going to talk about that point spread? I jumped on that bad boy at 24.5. Are we out of our minds? Why are we not hammering this?
Because, historically, I'm going to give you this.
Oh, shit.
What I'm going to say is, every time Michigan State is expected to be demolished, it does not happen.
But from what you've seen from Ohio State and Michigan State, we talk about on these gambling shows, getting your money in right. There's no better way from what we've seen than to get your money on Ohio State right now. If Michigan State covers this, hey, you showed me. I'm eating crow. I don't care.
But the problem is for MSU fans. The problem for MSU fans is that means you got to sort of root against your team, and that's no fun.
I can understand that.
We're gonna have Joey Kaufman on from the Columbus Dispatch here in a few minutes, and we're gonna chat about that game and who Ohio State is, and just sort of what he expects. I mean, I think they're a little surprised how bad MSU is. Here's what I'll say: the times that MSU has been hoping and thinking maybe they could be at that level, this will be a measuring stick. 2017, 2021, they have gotten flat-out run out of the building there in Columbus, right? The times that people expected Michigan State to get run out of the building, I mean, other than 2020, it doesn't always happen. In the Michigan game, in the Ohio State game. So what I'm saying is, historically, like, the games we really expect, I'm not saying, look, I would not bet Michigan State. I would not tell anybody to bet Michigan State. I'm just saying it's not as simple as the line. The line looks too easy. That's what I'm saying. The line looks way...
Vegas doesn't know what they're talking about?
No, I didn't say that either.
I have to say I'm saying that currently.
Okay.
Vegas does not have this line right. And I understand if you want to fade it as a Michigan State fan, I'm not going to be excited about watching this game either. But if you want to throw it in a parlay, though, it's at what now? 26.5, 25.5 still?
Yeah, 26. I've seen some places.
From what you've seen, yeah. Right? I mean, yeah. You're not making a bad mistake. I get it if you don't want to root against your team and all that, but really, do you even have to root or anything? You don't even have to watch, I don't think.
It sounds like they're going to have Travion Henderson back as
well.
Oh, well,
then never mind what I said.
That doesn't help.
Yeah. Well, then Michigan State covers.
So it was interesting today, though, talking to Jaden Reed. And a couple of things that are coming out of this week. One, it's very clear that Elijah Collins is going to continue to have an expanded role. The coaches are sort of saying it. He has earned that, and he's running as well as ever, but probably better than ever. I mean, he'll tell you he's a better running back than he was as a freshman when he was just sort of running on instinct and without really seeing the game, and the game slowed down for him. But Jaden Reed, I thought, was more interesting today because we've been wondering about Jaden Reed. And we talked about, you know, we didn't know he was going to be out against Washington. He had a cut on his back from that bench, right? That cut sounded like it was a deep wound, deep gash, number of stitches, couldn't shower properly for a week, couldn't get it sweaty.
Well, then sit him then.
Well, no, that was back then. I'm not saying now.
Well, sit him back then.
They did.
It's over.
Okay. What I'm saying is, what's interesting is, we kind of finally got an explanation for why he hasn't been close to 100%. He said he's still not there, but he feels himself every day getting the percentage better. They need a guy to be a problem for opponents, and they don't have that right now. Like, they've got some good players on offense. We've seen, you know, Keon Coleman be a good player. We've seen Peyton Thorne be a good player. We've seen some tight ends, Daniel Barker, be a good player. We've seen Jaden Reed be a good player. We've seen the running backs look like good players. But none of them scare you. And the guy on that offense that's got to be a problem for other people that wants to be an NFL player, and I think will be an NFL player to some degree, but it's Jaden Reed. Like, they need that guy, and they need somebody who can deliver a punch that makes Ohio State think, huh, okay, these guys can play with us. Because here's the one advantage Michigan State may have. These are still 19 and 20, 21-year-old, 22-year-old kids. Nobody who's playing meaningful football for Ohio State will know anything other than what happened in 2021, 2020, maybe a few in 2019 when Michigan State was really in it physically for a minute. But there will not be a lot of respect, I don't think, from Ohio State players, even if they say it, coming to East Lansing. And that may be Michigan State's one advantage that, you know, and there have been games where they, you know, that's famously, I think that's partly how the 2015 game happened the way it did. I don't think that Ohio State team respected that MSU team entirely coming in. Now, that was a really good MSU team, a very different MSU team. But that matters. And so if Ohio State, this is what Michigan State's got to pray for, that Ohio State doesn't respect them, doesn't prepare like they should, and that Michigan State hits a little differently than they have this year, because nothing we've seen to this point suggest MSU will be in this football game.
So if Ohio State wins the game 60-7, will anyone ask Mel Tucker postgame why he's not really recruiting the state of Ohio? Will anyone ask him that?
When did that become Monday? A storyline?
It's a question I'm asking. You can sit there and blow sunshine up people's asses and do Jaden Reed stories all you want, but I'm sorry, that's what interests me.
Okay, what are we talking about? You think that's a problem, that they're not recruiting Ohio?
It's a problem that has been brought to my attention. Why not?
Who brought that to your attention?
I can't tell you my sources, Graham. What the fuck do you want? I mean, come on, man. You're trying to make the show interesting.
Okay. So here's my thing. This week, regardless of what, now, if this winds up being 60-7, that may be a depressing snapshot at where things are.
But we're all expecting it, so is it really that much of a depression? People aren't going to even watch this game.
What I mean is, yeah, it's not yet, though. Like, losing to Minnesota the way they lost to Minnesota, that's concerning. Because that shouldn't happen. Losing last week to Maryland and being outplayed by a Maryland program that's never been much is more concerning than anything that happens against Ohio State, because there should be a clear understanding that Ohio State, again, is the dream, is the goal. That's what Michigan State's trying to get to, and that's what the recruiting that they're trying to do in these these four and five-star kids they're after. They're trying to, 3-4 years from now, be able to play at Ohio State's level. But everybody should know, even if this year was going better, that level isn't now. So
But if you're that far away, that's what's depressing about that.
Not if your entire roster is going to turn over. I mean, the whole point is that if the kids to get you to that level aren't even on campus mostly yet, some are true freshmen, then there's nothing really to measure, because you're not measuring what you're hoping you eventually have to measure against them, if that makes any sense. We can cut that part out of the show eventually.
Peacock?
Yeah, it's not.
I like how you just confuse me until, like, you just go away. I'll just spin you in a circle and then push you.
That's how I got my wife to marry me. I just confused her. And
am I right?
First date, and eventually she's like, fuck it, I'll do another one.
Well, I'm just saying, it's just a concern that I've heard, and it was interesting that I don't follow recruiting, and it just seems like Ohio is, I know D'Antonio kind of claimed that area, and it's just kind of weird if you're, if that's the way you're going to go about it, go away from Ohio. That's
well, he didn't claim Ohio. What he did is he took Jim Tressel's, Jim Tressel sent Mark D'Antonio the kids who Ohio State didn't want, and.
However you have to do it.
Okay. You know? This will not be a question I ask. Because I don't think it's an issue. I don't like if they were not recruiting Ohio and not recruiting well, I'd be like, this looks like an issue. But it doesn't seem like a story. I don't know who your sources are, but
Scotty Hazleton.
Scotty Hazleton, your source?
Yeah.
That would be amazing. If like Scotty Hazleton was like your guy and you just had conversations with him every single night.
I would have
to
say, if out of any of the staff, I think me and Scotty Hazleton would have something in common. Got a beard, chews tobacco.
I think he'd be a fun guy to hang out with.
Sure. Well, not anymore. Can't coach defense. You don't want to hang out with him.
You wouldn't want to hang out with subpar defensive coordinators beneath you?
Yeah.
Okay.
As a fan, it's beneath me. I'm just asking. I mean, what are you supposed to do after this game if it goes as planned? Is like I'm saying, it's just an absolute blowout and you're not in it from the get-go. It's just, what do you ask anymore? With the Scotty Hazleton thing. Every week, I got to ask, all right, so how many yards can we start questioning things after this week? And so after this week, what do we do?
You don't. What Michigan State's got to find a way to do is keep this from being just overly embarrassing.
Right.
And I don't think the Wisconsin firing Paul Christ helps MSU. I don't think that, and I'm not saying Wisconsin's going to change epically who they are, but you do get a new coach bump. You do get the Jim Leonard, and there will be kids who think that that's who they'll be playing. They will be better this week for not having Paul Christ, because the thing that happens is that'll have everybody's attention.
But it's still a shocking move for a program like Wisconsin. It doesn't seem like something that their MO, something they would do. So that's what would scare me if I'm a head coach in the Big Ten right now. Like,
well,
is anyone safe? I mean, because a lot of these schools are buying these guys out because money doesn't really matter anymore in college football. You can pay these guys $17 million to go away.
That's what's becoming clear. You got five Power 5 firings by October 1. And Ryan Day asked this question. Mel Tucker talked to him. I mean, it's a performance business, is basically. You got to do it. And,
yeah.
And I think Mel Tucker has a better understanding that what would concern me only is this. Like, I do not think Mel Tucker is a sentimental bloke. I do not. I think, like, you see that when he gets rid of Ron Burton. The thing is, I don't know that that was the right move. And I'm not saying that Brandon Jordan doesn't have a tremendous amount of value to the program. But I also thought Ron Burton was a really, really good, stable football coach and did a lot of – I brought a toughness to that D-line. I'm not sure they're better without him. They were better last year with – as a defensive line, certainly. So – you got to make sure you're making the right calls too as you go forward. Let's take a real quick break. We get back Joey Kaufman from the Columbus Dispatch. Couch in the Rue, presented by our friends at SkyMint Premium Cannabis and Front 43 and Cask and Company, with MSU game day specials, including 450 pints of Bell's Ellison Founders shorts, $5 mugs of Miller Lite, Bud Light Labatt, Spartan Burger, Spartan Fries, MSU Rolls, Spartan Rolls. Great place, Cask and Company and Front 43.
Firekeepers Online Casino and Sportsbook is the site to play. Get your Vegas on right now from your phone, tablet, or laptop. All the hottest slots and tables, plus sports betting featuring in-game wagering. Download the app at firekeeperscasino.com. Go with the name you know, Firekeepers. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and located in Michigan. Gambling problem? Call the Michigan Problem Gambling Helpline at 1-800-270-7117. Where else can you cheer on your team, enjoy a mouth-watering burger or savory sushi, sip on handcrafted cocktails, or one of 46 beers on tap? Take your game day or date night to Cask & Company Kitchen Bar or Front 43 Neighborhood Pub near Frandor. Two amazing places with one awesome blended modern American Asian menu. Catch the game on one of 30 60-inch TVs or stop in for the all-you-can-eat lunch buffet. Enjoy happy hour or elevate your night out at Cask & Company or Front 43 on East Saginaw in Lansing. Wherever you are on your cannabis journey, let Sky Mint Premium Cannabis be your guide, your friend, and your place. Whether you're curious about cannabis or a seasoned connoisseur, Sky Mint's knowledgeable staff will help you with a vast selection of products to choose from to fit your needs. Sky Mint believes access to the best cannabis helps people do good and feel good, so they grow it right here in Michigan, giving you high-quality, locally grown cannabis at highly accessible prices. Visit SkyMint.com for special offers and location information throughout Michigan, and use the promo code COUCHANDROOP20 for 20% off your first visit. Sky Mint Cannabis, you'll love this place.
Find Couch and the Rube podcasts on Spreaker, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, YouTube, Facebook, Google Podcasts, CastBox, and the Rube's favorite, Podcast Addict.
It is time for our interview of the week, presented by our friends at Hopcat, the best damn beer bar, world-famous Cosmic Fries, mouth-watering, award-winning burgers, and Michigan's finest selection of local craft beers. One of the things they do real well, wherever you are, they've got carefully crafted, curated local beer, so it feels like a local pub at your local Hopcat, where they also have the Peyton Thorn burger to try as well. With us is Joey Kaufman, Ohio State beat writer for the Columbus Dispatch. Joey, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. I just learned on the interview of the week, so I hoping this will be semi-memorable for your listeners.
There's a lot of pressure. I mean, we put a lot into this. So not a lot of people think Michigan State has a chance. Sell me the worst virtues of Ohio State football. Why would a team that's not playing that well, that hasn't defended well, that struggles to defend the pass, but maybe has a few playmakers on offense, have a chance in this game?
Well, I think for as much as Ohio State has rebuilt their defense, and they really are, I think, in a lot of ways, night and day better from where they were in 2021, especially up front and in the front of their defense and defending the run. They are thin in the secondary. They don't have a lot of depth at cornerback, especially they've had their starters in and out in the lineup at a position where they didn't have a ton of scholarship guys going into the year. And they've been vulnerable to some explosive plays in the passing game, especially Denzel Burke, who, oddly enough, was their top shutdown corner a year ago, but he's dealt with a hand injury. And when he's been healthy, he's given up some big plays and some touchdowns. So I think that is how they could get vulnerable, and that's maybe a script where if Michigan State's going to at least push Ohio State into the second half and give them a scare a la Missouri, Georgia last week, I think that could be a recipe for doing that, which is certainly different than I think what maybe we expected going into the year, because the way that teams had beaten Ohio State in the past couple years was really sort of pushing them around at the line of scrimmage, but they've been much better there this year.
Well, the good news is Ohio State probably doesn't need to worry about that with MSU. They're not going to get pushed around at the line of scrimmage. It is, like, I think, Ohio State's noticeably better defensively up front, and we've seen that throughout. One thing I wonder is, after the last 2 years especially, and even 2019, but there can't be a lot of guys on the Ohio State roster that truly respect Michigan State. Is there any chance that this is a game where they've just beaten the freaking pulp out of them for a couple years in a row? Is there any chance that this is a game where they don't, in the back of their minds, see Michigan State as a worthy opponent?
I think the environment will probably, I think, add to the stakes for this game. I mean, this is Ohio State's played their first five games at home, so I think getting a change of scenery, going to a place where they're going to be people in the stands rooting against them and yelling, I think add some competitive juice, regardless of the recent series with Michigan State. But I think your larger point, I think, is right. It's funny because it wasn't all that long ago where Michigan State was sort of the thorn in the Buckeyes' side in the East Division, where if Ohio State was going to trip up or fall or get stuck in a tight game, it was Michigan State. I mean, they beat them in 2015 in Columbus, which is the last time Ohio State has lost to a Big Ten team at home. And then when the whole leaders in Legends division, they've been in the 13 title game. But yeah, the last couple of years, Ohio State has just kind of run them off the field. And I don't know if Michigan State has the same stature in the building that they did when Mark D'Antonio was the coach, at least in the players' minds, because it's the roster turns over from those years. But I do think just going on the road and playing in a game at an opposing stadium will add to some of the competitiveness.
There's a decent chance it's at least like 40% Buckeyes fans at this game, though. Michigan State fans are like truly, I think, afraid to be in the building this week. The getting Travion Henderson back, what does that do? One of the things that I think, like, to me, Ohio State's even more balanced than they've been in the past. Like, that's what's so tricky for MSU is there's no weakness to them necessarily offensively, area where you can, you know, you take away something even. Like but what is getting him back do for them?
It gives them an explosive back, I think, largely. And I think Mayan Williams ran really well without Travion. And sort of the conversation here in Columbus this week is that going into the year, Mayan Williams was sort of 1B to Travion's 1A. And I think even the telecast referred to him as Robin to Travion's Batman. Well, maybe it's reversed, or maybe you have two Batmans in your backfield. I don't quite know the answer to that. But Travion is still your more explosive guy who's more likely to turn something into a big breakaway run at any point. Mayan Williams is sort of your classic short yardage, tough yards back who's going to muscle through contact. And the fact that he's a power back and only 5'9" sort of adds to the challenge in tackling him, because as running backs coach Tony Alford's put it, there's not a lot of surface area for you to actually get if you're a tackler. But Travion, I think, gives their offense an explosive element for sure.
C.J. Stroud this year, and I know they haven't been tested a ton yet, but C.J. Stroud this year compared to last year, what differences do you see, if any?
The biggest thing, I think, for him is he's more willing to maybe extend some plays, to scramble outside of structure. And he's not going to scramble and take off running and for a first down and really use his legs in that way. But I think what you'll see more is if they do get pressure on him and they'll flush him outside of the pocket, he'll hang around and move and try to make a play rather than if he has to flee, rather than just throwing the ball away. So I think his willingness to buy time and it look downfield and sort of keep hoping and keep hoping and keep hoping for something to break has been very valuable to them. And that's not something they really did a year ago with him. He was going to sit in the pocket and make his throws downfield. But as stuff breaks down, I think he's shown the inability this year where he's going to find his guy still.
One of the things that makes Ohio, like, to me, a year after Ohio State has fallen short in a certain way and had, you know, they obviously had the obvious flaw with on defense, and they had the loss to Michigan and the way that happened where they got kind of punched. That, to me, makes this sort of, I don't know, it feels like a, I don't say revenge year, but it feels like a year where it's a focused program. Does it feel like that? And is, I mean, like, Michigan looks legit again. Like, that looks like that could be an interesting game. Do you sense that around the program, though, that this is a team that's dead set on proving they're the best in the Big Ten and trying to play for a title?
I think certainly. I think it's a little bit like a toughness tour for them. I think they want to go into each matchup and show they are not that finesse team, which is, I think, the word that Josh Gattis put it after they beat Ohio State last year. And that's the label that's really, I think, irritated them and grinded their gears a little bit, because I mean, that's certainly not what you want to be known by. And I think it was a big motivation for them all off season. I think certainly anytime, I mean, this is a program, I think, that's become so unaccustomed to losing to Michigan, and it feels almost to the point of embarrassment, that I think you can sort of combine those two things, the way they lost and just it being such a rare setback for them. I mean, because the last time they lost to Michigan was 2011, Luke Fickell's year, and that's sort of a lost year for Ohio State football where you didn't have a permanent coach. That was a year in which you didn't really have a very stable situation. I think in a lot of ways to bring back the same staff and have a chance to try to get revenge against Michigan, I think is sort of a different circumstance than they've had really. You have to go back to 2003 when Jim Tressel lost in his third season to Michigan. They came back in 2004, tried to win sort of for an analogous situation.
Is there anywhere these guys can obviously Michigan State is not the team that we thought they could perhaps be before the year. Penn State, I just don't – I mean, I've seen enough of Penn State. I know it's a road game. I know that's a place – Ohio State's played some epic games, but – and Halloween weekend and all that jazz. But I don't – that just doesn't seem like – maybe that's the game. But otherwise, there's nothing till the Michigan game that Iowa doesn't have anywhere near the offense this year to give Ohio State a game. Like, where is this going to be just one of – I mean, how does this stay interesting for the Buckeyes, I guess, would be my question.
For us, trying to write interesting things,
yeah,
week in and week out. I do think Maryland's kind of interesting. I mean, you can kind of talk yourself into that being a potential.
Oh man, you guys are
point.
Desperate. Yeah, if you're talking Maryland, yeah.
I mean, yeah, you can talk yourself into it. I guess with Talia Tagovailoa and being one of the better quarterbacks that they'll face. I think just that game being a week before Michigan adds some drama. Maybe is that a case where you have an emotional letdown because you're thinking about the next week against Michigan and all the anticipation of that game. But there's no obvious game on the calendar. Iowa's offense doesn't have a pulse, and after they play the Penn State game, they play Northwestern and Indiana. So there, it does feel like it's basically a season-long buildup to the Michigan game. I think the most interesting part will be whether Michigan also can come into Columbus unbeaten, and you have something sort of similar to the 2006 game of the century, where both teams are undefeated and playing for a spot in the postseason.
How did Ohio State wind up with 8 home games this year? I know it's better than Michigan's because they played Notre Dame rather than, you know, I mean, Michigan had like 2 of the bottom 131 teams in the country, 3 of them really. But how did they wind up with 8 home games this year? Because that's not usually a thing. Is that related to scheduling around COVID?
Largely the Notre Dame series. I think they would have preferred to play Notre Dame on the road this year and have Notre Dame come to Columbus next year. But the way the series was scheduled, that was a game that they'd been trying to schedule for years and years, and that's just what Notre Dame wanted, and that's what they basically agreed to. But that's really it, because next year
they get 6, then huh?
They'll play 6 home games and 6 road games.
Okay.
So I think it's going to average out. But I think in their ideal world, that's what they would have done it.
Yeah, I don't mind it as much when I hear there's a 6 next year, because that's truly balanced, and that makes it a little bit more reasonable. Certainly. Okay, so the line has moved from about 24.5 to 26. Do you think this is going to be within that or not? Like, if you had to pick this game, where would you put it?
They've pretty much this is why I never bet, but they've pretty much floated around whatever the line's been the last couple weeks, because they beat Rutgers by 39, and the line was 39-40. And they didn't cover the first 2 weeks. So Ohio State hasn't always been a great cover team. They weren't able to cover some big double-digit point spreads the first 2 weeks against Notre Dame and Arkansas State. And then obviously it wasn't an issue against Toledo. They were able to put up 77 points. But I think they have a chance to cover it, certainly with the way their offense is playing, but it always feel like whatever the line is for Ohio State, they're always dancing on one side or the other of it, which is, I guess, why the folks out there in the desert do a good job.
So that's not going to help you, Jason. You didn't get the definitive answer for your.
Thankfully,
your
I don't need help this week.
He's all on the Buckeyes. Joey, appreciate you, man. Look forward to seeing you this weekend. Safe travels.
Thanks, Graham. Good talking with you.
That's Joey Kaufman from the Columbus Dispatch. Does a great job covering them. Also part of the USA Today Network, a little fellow newspaper nowadays. All right. Yeah, that is our Hopcat interview of the week. And, of course, presented by Hopcat. Go to hopcat.com to see the Hopcat location nearest you. Got one in East Lansing, Grand Rapids, Ann Arbor, Kalamazoo, Indianapolis even. So go to hopcat.com and check out the nearest Hopcat. Takeaways from that interview, Jason.
Well, I mean, Joey, he's not used to gambling talk, I guess, because I know that, you know, Ohio State hasn't been covering. It's not about that, really. It's about the number and where it's set at right now. And from what I've seen, I'm sorry. If Michigan State covers this spread and looks like a different team, more power to them. I just can't go into this game thinking that way, and I just think there's too much easy money there. I'm not saying you got to bet life-changing money, but I think you can end up winning a little bit of cash. So I don't know.
Yeah, no, and we'll get into this with Harry in a little bit, because both Michigan and Ohio State are massive road favorites. And and maybe it is just a two. You know, those two are just above everybody else, but 22 for Michigan at Indiana seems like a lot.
Well, Michigan's offense, I mean, we'll get into it, but.
And I think Spartan Stadium is going to be a really interesting dynamic this week, too.
You said, what, 40% you think?
I think 40%.
I think that's light.
No.
I've seen people put their tickets up for sale that you normally wouldn't see.
And so maybe Ohio State fans are coming up to this. The thing about it is Ohio State's been at five straight home games. Their fans have been coming out to five straight Saturdays.
But why wouldn't you come to Michigan State? It's not that far of a drive.
I know, but at some point you sometimes say, man, I'll take a weekend where we watch on TV or we do something, you know, like it's just easier. Maybe I'm wrong. It is Ohio State
football.
Maybe
it's easier when you have a team that's always going to be undefeated around this time of the year where you can have that. But, yeah, with tickets being cheap,
and there
get
are,
in here and get a win.
And of the road games that you're likely to – I mean, there are easy tickets at Northwestern and Maryland later, but you're not – it's, you know – harder to get a ticket at Penn State if you wanted to do like a road trip or something. But I think that'll be an interesting dynamic. And I think it could be a tough environment for MSU if they get in there and it feels – that said, at Washington, I mean, I swear that was 30% Michigan State fans. It was noticeable. When Michigan State did do something well early before the game kind of got out of hand. Like, you could hear it. You're like, wait a sec, who's home?
Michigan State travels well, though.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that didn't seem to affect Washington. Like, and also, it still felt like a home game for them when they did something well. So that's really the key, is can you do enough well to take advantage of being home?
And can I ask a question? I mean, do you think the Michigan State players won't mind? Less, you know, opportunity to get booed? I don't know.
No.
I just don't know what would change this team's mindset, because you're talking, you know, the years that they upset a team when they were heavy underdogs. I just don't see it. I don't see it at all.
And here's the thing. They don't see this game in the terms that we do. We're not looking. I guarantee you they're not thinking, boy, do we cover the spread?
I'm sure they know of the spread. They know maybe what it is.
What they're thinking is, can we get this right and challenge these guys?
Sure.
What I don't know from Michigan State is whether the best version of Michigan State believes they can beat these guys. Because that's what it begins with. And Mel Tucker, and I'm going to do a piece on this a little later this week, but Mel Tucker said that. You know, I asked him on Monday sort of the common thread when he's been around. He was at Michigan State when Michigan State went down. He was a grad assistant when they went down as four touchdown underdogs and won at Columbus in 1998. Now, the difference was, even though that team went 6-6, that team had a number of pros. They were a year away from being something that, you know, Plaxico Burress, Julian Peterson, like there were guys on that team that were problems that weren't on this team, and they underachieved in a lot of other ways that year. There have been a number of other games throughout time, but the common denominator, one thing Mel Tucker said, is you got to have belief, and then you got to kind of strip the name off the chest, and you got to get rid of the aura of Ohio State, right? Because if you're stuck on these guys are freaking good, this is Ohio State, and you don't know if you can beat them. And the problem is, I don't know that Michigan State can get to that level. I don't know that they can get to that point. I think the thing that they need to do right away is they need great success offensively. Deep shots that we haven't seen them take in a couple weeks, they were real successful with early. He just talked about the secondary of Ohio State maybe being the weak point. Like Michigan
State going to have time, though?
Well, that's a good question. Michigan State has guys who can hurt you deep, and I still believe at any level, and I thought that was going to be an advantage for them all year. And if you can have something that goes well for you early like that, if you can get a score out of the gate, if you can be in the game right away, and then you start to believe, because that's where you have to get to a point that, wait a sec, these guys aren't that good. Individually, a couple guys start winning their matchups or being okay. You're an offensive lineman, and all of a sudden you're like, this dude in front of me, I'm okay against him. Like, you have to start believing at some point, and you have to do it early, or things get really out of hand. But if I were telling people which way to pick, I would tell them to take Ohio State, but
But I like your game plan, but, I mean, it's easier said than done.
Totally.
You got to get those guys that are playmakers the ball somehow. I just don't think Thorne's going to have enough time to get those guys deep. You just, if you're Jay Johnson, you got to come up with some sort of plays or something to get these guys involved. So.
And you got to leave your backs in there, and you got to have guys that help Chip and give him the time. And then you got to come up with – yeah, you got to come up with things you haven't shown yet. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
There's got to be some stuff that Jay Johnson's holding on to that gives him a chance. Now – there's also an argument that this isn't going to go well anyway. Hey, hold that for the Wisconsin game where you can win. But no, you want to be competitive, because I do think that you could change. Like, if Michigan State was somehow competitive in this game and lost, if Michigan State loses by two touchdowns, you know, 41-27 or 38-24, and it doesn't feel like they don't belong on the field with Ohio State, that will, even in defeat, even in falling to 2-4, that will make people – this is a game you don't have to win to get people to go, oh, that was better. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
right, because two touchdowns, you don't know if Ohio State's putting in guys that haven't played all season. And,
but even so, like, you can play an improved game and lose this, and then people will be like, all right, let's see what they do against Wisconsin. So that the question
we kind of have to do that anyway regardless. No matter what happens. All right, what are they going to do against Wisconsin?
Totally, totally. Yeah. They've got – that's a game that becomes a must-win, because I think Michigan could be rough as well. We will take another quick break, come back. We'll pick the games with the great Harry Gagnon. Couch in the Roo, presented by Skymint Premium Cannabis and Front 43 and Cask & Company.
Hopcat exists at the intersection of great beer and delicious food, complemented by music, art, community, and comfort. Home to a best-in-class beer experience served by craft beer experts. Guests can expect a casual, inviting local gathering place with some of the best damn burgers and fries you'll find in Michigan. Hopcat is proud to be an official sponsor of Peyton Thorne. Show your Spartan pride by ordering the iconic Peyton Thorne burger, created by the man himself. There is no better place to watch any Michigan State game other than the 50-yard line at Spartan Stadium. Stop by any of our locations: East Lansing, Detroit, Grand Rapids, Ann Arbor, Kalamazoo, and Holland. To plan your next trip to Hopcat, visit hopcat.com. Wherever you are on your cannabis journey, let SkyMint Premium Cannabis be your guide, your friend, and your place. Whether you're curious about cannabis or a seasoned connoisseur, SkyMint's knowledgeable staff will help you with a vast selection of products to choose from to fit your needs. SkyMint believes access to the best cannabis helps people do good and feel good, so they grow it right here in Michigan, giving you high-quality, locally grown cannabis at highly accessible prices. Visit SkyMint.com for special offers and location information throughout Michigan, and use the promo code COUCHANDROOB20 for 20% off your first visit. SkyMint Cannabis, you'll love this place. Come enjoy irresistible, award-winning, handcrafted donuts and locally roasted coffee at Groovy Donuts. Surprise your family or coworkers with special holiday designs and flavors, or put the perfect finishing touch on an event with a custom order. Birthdays, weddings, gender reveals, our friends at Groovy Donuts are your answer. Experience the Groovy Donuts difference for yourself on Lake Lansing Road in East Lansing or in Williamston. Get more information or place an order at groovydonuts.com.
Find our live stream, podcast archives, as well as show, affiliate, and sponsorship information at our website, spotlightmediastudios.com.
Couch in the Rue, presented by Skymint Premium Cannabis and Front 43 Neighborhood Pub and Cask and Company Kitchen and Bar. It is now time to pick the games with Harry Gagnon, presented by our friends at Firekeepers and the Firekeepers iCasino and Sportsbook. Harry Gagnon, of course, with Against All Odds podcast with Cousin Sal, bestbetcorner.com and extrapoints.com. Harry, how you doing, brother?
What's up, guys? How's everything?
Good. It's good to have you here. It's
I always have to ask Harry whenever I call him, like, where are you at, man? And he just tells me Palm Springs, going to Illinois. Then he's going to be in Ann Arbor. Unfortunately, I'm not going to that, right? Are we going to go to that, Graham?
We'll have to figure that out, because having Harry this close, it feels like we have to find a way to see Harry.
I would love for you guys to meet me in Ann Arbor in a week and a half. That would be a lot of fun.
I got to say, sure. I think Harry could get me to Ann Arbor, though.
I like that. That's cool. That means a lot. That means a lot, Jay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll look into the logistics.
Don't quote me on it yet. Yeah.
Yeah. I got you. I know you gotta. You're just newly married too. You gotta make sure things, everything's good. Everything's cool.
Oh no, that's Graham. You're getting us confused. my wife could give a shit what I do.
That's
why we're married.
My wife will be out of town that weekend, so I might be able to pull it off if I can pull that and the Michigan State game both off. All right, let's dig into these games this week. Let's start with the NFL. We got four in the NFL, and then we got five in college. The Lions just flat out fucked you last week, and tell us about that first.
You know, it's more than anything. I mean, okay, I needed. I gave out the I gave out the Lions with you guys against Seattle. I had that was my extra points video of the day. I made it that special to do it on a Sunday to take the Lions. And you put up 45 points in the NFL, and you still don't win because you can't get one stop against the Seattle Seahawks. I mean, you, and not to mention, like, you wasted Detroit. You wasted another game. The week before, you should have beat Minnesota. You waste this game. Hockenson has the game of his life. You know, I mean, look how the offense was unbelievable. I think over 500 yards of offense. And you still don't win because you can't. You gave 245 yards rushing to Seattle, who couldn't do anything to start the season. I don't know. I'm kind of like it's a blur that you know you put up 45 points in the NFL, and that was the first time, guys. I don't know if you saw that Scorigami. First time ever in NFL history there was a final of 48-45. I would have thought that would have happened somewhere along the line too, but first time ever 48-45, and I'm on the losing end with the 45 points. And that cost me a chunk. I had money line parlays and Lions with everything, and you know, so just rough one, guys.
Harry, having the Lions with everything in a parlay is where you begin.
The Tigers. I mean, like, what are you doing?
He's talking to us. He's going to stop talking to us if this keeps happening. We're rubbing off on him.
Yeah, but we tell him to stay away. We're trying to help him here.
This is real sick. I shouldn't even admit this, but for the heck of it, I made a. I made a little preseason NHL parlay yesterday, and I had the Red Wings. They got thumped.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Why shouldn't you admit that?
I know.
Part of the degenerate trifecta.
Of
we know. We've heard about
preseason
you.
Preseason NHL.
That's pretty low. I give you that. It's pretty low. All right. Well, this week we're going to see if Harry's got a spite bet. Lions +3 at the Pats, and you know the Packers made a huge mistake. Injuring Brian Hoyer last week and letting Zappy or whatever his name is from Western Kentucky
absolute
Zappy,
balloons.
Baby.
But there's no way that game is just not competitive if Brian Hoyer's in there and not at age 47 or whatever he is now. To me, this gets interesting because the Lions obviously were embarrassed defensively. The Patriots are going to be playing a rookie quarterback, I think, and. I still don't like the Lions. Like I think there's a hangover from last week. I think the Patriots are a better team. Just 3 points. Give me the Patriots until the Lions prove me otherwise. Jason,
listen to what you're saying. We're talking about a third-string quarterback, and we're talking about the Lions. The Lions have their starting quarterback in Jared Goff, who everyone thinks, Harry, that he's going to be this next great thing because he's putting stats together and losses. My thing is, if Geno Smith can put up 48, why can't Bailey Zappe put up at least 30? I mean, give me the Patriots. Look what Belichick did going into Lambeau last week. Belichick's a genius. He's gonna shut Goff down. The Patriots win this by 10. What do you got?
Yeah, I'm probably wrong. I've been flip flopping on these Lions. I'm the wrong side 2 weeks in a row, but I think it might be right there, guys. Where you're where it's, maybe it's a 2 week hangover here situation with the Lions that probably should have won both weeks and now lost. I'm going to take the Patriots. I'm going to ride with. Bailey Zappe. Western Kentucky, he had over 5,000 yards last year. He had like 50 touchdowns. I know that's been playing in the Sun Belt, but still, it's very impressive. I think the Patriots defense played pretty strong last week against Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers. I'm kind of surprised. I mean, I don't know why Detroit didn't fire Aaron Glenn. I mean, as a defensive coordinator, I just don't know how you don't keep your job the day after, but they're going to keep him, I guess. You know what? With him still being there and the Lions defense being what it is, I'm taking the Patriots.
All right, Bears +7 at the Vikings. 7's a big number here, and you know, like I think the Vikings are a better team. I just struggle with the Cousins trust. I know Harry is all on the Vikings and not a Justin Fields guy, so I think I know where Harry is on this. I don't know. I just don't love what I'm seeing out of the Vikings right now. Give me the Bears and the points. I'm going to hold my nose and take the Bears. Jason, where are
if
you?
If you don't like what you're seeing out of the Vikings, Graham, well, wait till you get a hold of Justin Fields on the road. I mean, when I saw this line, Harry, I'm like, I jumped right on this because I thought it'd be 10 by today. I like the Vikings a lot in this game. I mean, it's Kirk Cousins. I get it, but it's not in prime time. It's a 1 o'clock game. Mm-hmm. It's at home. He's good at home. The Bears are complete ass. I mean, give me the Vikings -7. What do you got?
Yeah, I'm taking the Vikings too. But guys, I will say this, Graham. You made a good point that you said that 7 points is interesting. It is because listen, you guys all. I've voiced my opinion on what I think about Fields and the Bears offense, but the defense is keeping them in game. Yep. I mean, I think this defense. I think maybe San Francisco has the best defense in the NFL. Dallas might be second. If you're going to go top five defenses, I think you got to put the Bears defense in there. I think you do because it keeps them in games. And I feel terrible for the Bears defense and the fans, guys, because, you know, on Sundays and on Thursdays, we're doing Spotify live shows against all odds, me, Sal, and Brother Bri, Parlay Kid. We're doing live betting while games are going on in the fourth quarter. And I was beyond myself, guys, with the Bears situation and the awful coaching decision. And let me answer this real quick, though, because this drove me nuts. Because I'm a Giants fan, so we got the win. But with 2 minutes and 45 seconds left, it's 20-18. The Bears are down 8. They have 4th and 2 from the 50-yard line with 2 timeouts left. Why in the world would you punt? Can you explain that to me?
I'm sure there's some analytics out there, but I don't get it. It would not be what I would do.
If you don't, here's my thing. If you don't make it, great, you make it. Who knows what happens? Great. But if you don't make it, it's still 2 minutes and 45 seconds to go. You still have 2 timeouts. You have the 2-minute warning, and you're not giving them any free points. You're at midfield. You're not going for it on your 20. And it's not 4th and 10. It's not 4th and 20. It's 4th and 2. How do you not go for it and give your team an opportunity to tie this game, to do something? I don't get it.
And even
that's
if your
terrible.
Defense is playing well, I mean, it's right. You're not going to use those timeouts anyway because it takes Justin Fields forever to get down the field.
Yeah. So. And Jones isn't in, and for the Giants, which, you know, that could be a good thing, a bad thing, a good thing. Take it the way you want. But how do you not go 4th and 2? You go for it at the 50 with 2:45 to go. I just don't get it. I didn't understand that at all. But Bears coaching has always been bad. Quarterbacks have always been bad. Sorry for the fans that have to endure all this all the time. But I just thought that was the dumbest play, dumbest decision of Sunday by a head coach of the NFL. That's
Eberflus. Speaking of bad quarterbacks, the Rams are at home giving 4.5 to the Cowboys. And I watched, and a little spite going on right here because I had a teaser with the Rams with the 49ers. Didn't eat a lot out of fucking Rams. Didn't eat a lot. Just needed them not to shit the bed like they always do when they're not tough enough to handle the 49ers. I should know better by now. But they sucked, and Matthew Stafford was awful. And Cooper Rush, hey, Lansing's own, +4.5 at the Rams. Until the Rams get another receiver. You know, you face a competitive team, and it's more than 3 points like the Cowboys. Right now, and you talk about the Cowboys' defense, I'm absolutely all over the Cowboys in this game. And, again, the 49ers make the Rams look awful in every game except last year's playoff game. But still, give me the Cowboys here. Jason, where are you?
I mean, be mad at Matt Stafford all you want for that pick six. But, man, that offensive line, Harry, is absolutely brutal. And you're giving me plus points with – Dallas's D, Cooper Rush is winning games, and you're giving me 4.5. Give me the Cowboys all day. What do you got?
Yeah, that Rams offensive line's been beat up. I guess like 4 of the 6 didn't starters haven't played this year already. I did mention Dallas probably having one of the best defenses in the league. Rams offense, no running game. Allen Robinson, who I said was going to have a pretty good year, filling in there for Woods, who's gone in Tennessee now. Not the case. He's averaging 2 catches a game. He's averaging 24 yards a game. This line, though, guys, is a little fishy to me. I think it's a little high. I mean, considering what I've seen out of Dallas.
Yeah.
And last week we discussed this where the Dallas only giving 3 to Washington was a little fishy, but they still won the game. They still covered the game. So aside from it's being a little fishy here, I'm going to jump on Dallas, too. It's too good to pass up 4.5.
Well, the other thing is this is where I think Vegas has missed here, is Vegas just kind of randomly does the home road. But this is not a home game for the Rams. There will be more Cowboys fans in Los Angeles than there are Rams fans at that game. Like, this is not – you shouldn't get any points for being home if you're the Rams here. I think that's a miss right here. And you know me, I'm always trying to give Vegas shit for stuff that I think we know more than them. But anyway, okay, Raiders next, +7 at the Chiefs. I put this on here because I love this for the Chiefs, even though the Raiders have been better lately. But the Raiders, if there's anybody has the Chiefs number, it's the Raiders. It's kind of like the 49ers and Rams. And that makes me nervous about it, even if in even a primetime game, I think it's primetime, maybe it's 4 o'clock, in Arrowhead. But I'm all with the Chiefs again. I don't care at the 7. Give me the Chiefs. Jason, where are you?
See, I the opposite. I just, the 7 points, I like the Chiefs offense, but I think, like you said, this game is competitive. It's close. Chiefs win the game, but that 7 is just too heavy for me. What do you got, Harry?
Yeah, I'm gonna give Las Vegas a shot as well. I really did like what I saw out of Josh Jacobs. Probably had his best game as a Raider. He was everywhere. He was fantastic, breaking tackles, scoring touchdowns, ripping off monster yards. I still need to see more production out of Carr. I mean, they got their first win last week, but he wasn't even that good. He had no touchdowns. And I need to see a little bit more production out of the defense. Max Crosby's the only one that seems like he's doing anything on this defensive end. But, yeah, just because Kansas City looked so good Sunday night, I'm going to take the Raiders with the points just in case. I think this game just happens to be close.
All right, college games. We got 5 of them here. Let's start with Michigan, -22 at Indiana. This is a big number. Road game, over 3 touchdowns. And I know Indiana has not been good, but this is a really, really – I do not know that Michigan covers this. I mean, over 3 touchdowns to me is a little too much. Not much. Like, I would never bet Indiana in this game. I wouldn't bet Michigan in this game. But I can easily see this game being 37-17, something in there. Over 3 touchdowns, give me the Hoosiers just barely holding my nose. Jason, where are you?
I mean, this is the same Indiana team that went to Nebraska and got their ass beat. You know, and Cincinnati obviously hammered them at Cincinnati. I don't know, Harry. I understand Michigan's offense isn't as scary because they haven't really played anyone yet, but Indiana's complete ass. I think Michigan goes in and trucks them. What do you got?
Blake Corum's running back from Michigan's have a fantastic year putting up the touchdowns. You know, but I think – Hoosiers for the points here. I'm going to lean toward it. More than 3 touchdowns. I know, like you guys know, that I'm coming to Ann Arbor. It's going to be a maze out that week when Penn State comes to town. I think the Fox crew is going to come there as well. Maybe looking a little bit ahead, they win this game, but maybe not by more than 3 touchdowns. I'll take a shot with the Hoosiers.
All right, Ohio State -25 and a hook at MSU, maybe 26 at this point, depending on your book. I am certainly not taking, like, again, this is another game where that's a, you know, massive road line. I can see a scenario in which Michigan State covers it. They've covered a lot of times that they've been this sort of favorite. They've sometimes won outright, or been this sort of underdog. They've won outright sometimes. However, there's no evidence right now on the field that suggests that MSU is going to win this game or it would be competitive in this game. And so I'm, for the purpose of this show, I'm all over the Buckeyes. And if I were to bet it or tell anybody which way to go, I would tell you, you know, have some fun with the Buckeyes. Tease it down a little bit, too. You get this inside of 3 touchdowns. I really think you've got something that's pretty a pretty good play. So if you got a teaser somewhere else you like, I like that a lot. Give me the Buckeyes, Jason.
Harry, what the fuck am I missing? What is this guy talking about? I don't know why he's apprehensive of this game. From what we've seen, we talked about it earlier, Harry. Gambling. You want to get your money in right. Now, if Michigan State somehow pulls something out of their ass and covers this spread, I got this at 24.5, and I felt like I was stealing money, Harry. So maybe you can talk me out of this, but I think Ohio State comes in and absolutely hammers them, and I'm not scared of this. I don't know why Graham wants to tease it down a little bit. I don't get it. So who do you got?
Nah, I don't like this Michigan State defense at all. Since the opener against the Irish, Ohio State's won 4 straight by 30 or more. They beat the Spartans by 49 last year. I'm taking Ohio State.
I mean, if I'm wrong and Michigan State somehow covers or there's weather or something weird or Stroud doesn't play well, something, I get it. But I'm getting my money in right. I don't care.
You know what it is? You know what it is a lot of times? It's like, okay, you can make a point for this team. You can make a point for that team in terms of maybe a letdown, maybe this or that. But it's just this Ohio State team. It's just like it's so hard to go against them because you know – you're not shutting them. You know they're going to score X amount of points. You know they're going to score 40. You know they're going to score pop maybe 50. So where's the cutoff? Where do you get whoever? It doesn't have to be Michigan State. It could be anybody. Where are you going to make a valid case where you're going to actually put down money and go the other way and go against Ohio State? I just don't see it.
Yeah, no, I don't think you'd be insane to go for MSU. And you know, and I think one thing that, you know, we had a guest on earlier who covers Ohio State, and I do think one point he brought up that I think also favors the Buckeyes. First road game. They played five straight games in Columbus. They will be focused. This is not a game where it's like, just another trip, team that, you know, you don't respect. This is their first time on the road, first time team hotel before the game. This will be a focused road trip, something different. If this was, I'm not saying Michigan State would be better off in Columbus necessarily, but if it was just another game in Columbus for them, you can see them, you know, their eyes glazing over a little bit. This one feels a little different in that sense.
And you know what, too? I mean, all these past years, Ohio State's always beat Michigan. They've always beat Michigan. Well, they lost to Michigan last year. So now, Graham, I think to your point, it's just a focus thing.
It's a focus thing
for Ohio State, not just for the Michigan game at the end of the season, but every single game along the way.
All right, Missouri nearly took out Georgia last week. It was pretty impressive. Can they come back at plus 11, go to Florida, and get it done? Florida, you know, had the loss to Tennessee, was competitive. A little bit of the shine come off their quarterback. I think, you know, Missouri did some things on the defensive line, defensive front, that actually gave Georgia problems. Like, I don't think all that was a fluke, which could be interesting for Florida. But I think this is a tough turnaround for Missouri, a tough – you almost did it. You didn't quite do it. And it's going to go one of two ways. Either you walk out of that game with a lot of swagger, or you walk out of that game deflated that you should have had it and didn't do it. Give me Florida – even giving 11 points. Jason, where are you?
Yeah, but I think they're going to take some of that out of the Georgia game with a little bit of swagger, because they also were competitive at Auburn, Harry. So 11 just seems a little bit too much lumber for me. So give me Missouri plus the 11 against Florida. What do you got?
Yeah, I don't love this Florida team, that's for sure. But I am thinking the same way Graham is thinking. I just basically think that they gave it all they had. They were pumped up. They were home. They were in it. They had the lead. Not just in it, but the lead most of the game. I think now going on the road to Gainesville, I don't think Missouri has anything left in the tank. Florida wins, and I think they win convincingly.
Eastern Michigan plus 5 at Western Michigan. I really like Eastern Michigan in this game. I do, and I know that, you know, Western Michigan, and I don't take a lot into what happened to Western against San Jose State, where you go, you know, you go across the country and, you know, you lay an egg, whatever. That stuff happens. But I think, you know, this can be a pretty decent Eastern Michigan football team. They obviously won at Arizona State. They got clean. Their clock cleaned. Was it last week or 2 weeks ago? But they're coming off. Hold on 1 second. They lost a game at Buffalo that I didn't like the performance. That was just last week. Yeah, shit. I didn't realize that was just last week. I apologize. But no. It was it was not just last week. It was 2 weeks ago, because they won a close game against UMass. Not a great UMass program. I don't know. These games are always tight with Western and Eastern. The 5 points, give me Eastern. Jason, where are you?
I have absolutely no idea about this game. Neither team. But for the sake of this, I think I'd rather watch Aaron Judge if they broke in with, like, his bathroom trips. I'd rather watch that than this game. But give me Eastern plus the points. What do you got here?
Isn't Eastern Michigan in Ypsilanti?
It is.
You know, when me and my buddy are going to the game in a week and a half, there are no hotels. Everything is sold out in Ann Arbor, everything around it. I think we're staying in Ypsilanti.
It's so close. It's like 5 minutes.
22 miles, is that right?
Depending on where you're staying, they might say they're Ypsi, but
I guess I should probably take them just for the sake of it. But, yeah, Graham, I don't like that in their losses. They've lost by 49. They lost by 50. And they only beat UMass, who we've been talking about this couple of years, that UMass over the past couple of years might be the worst team in Division I football. And they only beat them by 7. So I'm going to take the Broncos. I'm going to take the Broncos here.
All right, last game here. Iowa plus 3.5, Illinois. This to me is really interesting, because Illinois obviously got Paul Chris fired. They went and they look great at Wisconsin. I think they've got a legitimate defense, and I don't think Iowa's that bad either. I think Michigan's pretty good. I think Iowa's defense is pretty good. I think this is a low scoring game. The hook is what's interesting here. Give me Illinois. I think as Illinois continues to win and look better, this may be one of the last weeks there's really good value on Illinois to a certain degree. I think Illinois is going to win this game by like a touchdown at home. It's a big deal game for them. It's a game that if they win it, they've got a chance to win that division. Jason, where are you?
Yeah, I'm with you on the 3.5. It kind of makes me – I mean, first seeing Iowa's offense makes me want to throw up, but that 3.5. But I still think Illinois at home, they're a good, solid team. I think they win by more than 3.5. Give me Illinois. What you got here?
I'm with Graham. A little bit with Graham here again just because
– Well, we both took Illinois, didn't we?
I took Illinois.
Oh, you took Illinois? I'm sorry. I think the hook is interesting, like you said, though, because I think Iowa played Michigan tough. Especially defensively, they did all they could to hold Michigan down. Offense still needs some work, that's for sure. But I'm thinking the hook looks interesting here at 3.5. I think Illinois can win this game by 3, but I'm going to take the 3.5 for the Hawkeyes.
All right, is there anything else you like this week, Harry?
This week, I'll tell you this right now. I will tell you that I like in the NFL. I'm going to take the Seahawks. Still, again, at +5.5 against the Saints. Saints, very questionable what they got going on quarterback-wise. Kamara's still out. They've got no real running game. Michael Thomas injured and banged up and not giving out the production and Geno that you expected from him. And Geno Smith has been fantastic. 6 touchdown passes. He's got another one running. Penny looked amazing running the ball last week against Detroit. But more than anything, Geno Smith, I'll tell you what, completing 77.3% of his passes. As of right now, if you go to the NFC West, who's the quarterback playing the best ball? It's Geno Smith. It's not Garoppolo. It's not Kyler Murray. It's not Stafford. It's Geno Smith. I'm going to take the 5.5 with Seattle. In New Orleans, who, by the way, New Orleans, a lot of people had them on the rise and making the playoffs. They're sitting there at 1-3. I'm taking the Seahawks.
Oh, man. A lot of flashbacks from last week, but I actually like you. I agree with you, Harry. I think next week, Harry, we'll return with our can't-miss parlays, if you don't mind flattering us.
And how about this? That sounds great. But how about this for a bet? Just like, I mean, it's easy money. I know he didn't have one last week, but he did have a turnover still. But he's due. I mean, Justin Fields to throw a pick, usually about -150. Lay the 150. Vikings get at least one.
I actually like that too a lot. It is a weird thing rooting for a guy to throw a pick because it's going to happen at any point during the game. But every pass that he throws, you're like, huh?
I mean, the only thing is, you know, he's only going to throw about 15 of them, but still, he's going to get one.
Harry, you're a beautiful man. We look forward to chatting to you next week.
Love it, guys. Take care. Let's hit something.
The great Harry Gagnon from Against All Odds, Cousin Sal, Best Bet Corner and ExtraPoints.com.
I like how he's like, I'm afraid to say this, and then talks about a normal gambling bet.
But yeah.
Some weird tennis tournament in Tahiti.
We will be back Thursday night with our Groovy Donut Twitter questions, or your Groovy Donut Twitter questions. We'll get into those. Appreciate Joey Kaufman joining us and Harry as well. Thanks to Hopcat. Go to hopcat.com for location information and to check out their menu. We appreciate Skymint, as always. Look, this football season, never has there been a better football season for Skymint. Well, actually, if you're a Lions fan, there's probably been lots of football seasons for Skymint. And thanks to Front 43 and Cask & Company. If you are looking for a place to watch the game this week, Front 43 and Cask & Company, great place to watch the NFL, college football, you name it. Great place for a date night. Great menu. Good show, man.
Yeah, man.
Couch in the Roop.